Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Let's get underway.
Saturdays were made for this. The biggest names and the biggest games right here.
Triple M rocks the NRL.
To our mates at King G, welcome to the Triple M Saturday Scrum.
Great to have your company all the way to 3 o'clock. Then it will be the pre-game show heading into 4 o'clock. The prelim final, the Penrith Panthers taking on Melbourne for the right to go through to next week's grand final after South Sydney did the job over Manly, 36 points to 16, looking at that tyre power scoreboard. Brilliant performance from the Bunnies. We spoke to Benji Marshall a little bit earlier. We've heard Wayne Bennett. Lots of stories at lines going through the week. Adam Reynolds being one of them, of course, with that injury to his groin. But right now, Brent Reed, it is time for this.
Mail.
What have you got for us, my friend?
I feel like I've been a bit negative today, Tone. So I'm going to weigh in with some positive news for Parramatta fans.
Okay, excellent.
Yeah, positivity.
Yep.
There was a lot of talk about Brad Arthur's future at the end of the season, towards the end of the season. People saying he needed a big final series to secure a new deal there, or to even serve out the final year of his contract. He's got next year to go. Well, look, I think Parramatta officials were pretty impressed. They were pretty pleased with how it went. They thought that the side was still responding to Brad, that they were still buying what Brad was selling. And, look, I think they'll sit down with him soon enough and iron out an extension for Brad Arthur. I think he enters his ninth or tenth year next year as Parramatta coach. He's the second longest serving coach of Parramatta history behind Brian Smith. So it looks as though he'll get an extension. He'll stay there for a bit longer yet. Good news for Parramatta fans, and I think it's well deserved.
There's no sense that the players have lost interest in Brad Arthur, is there?
No, and I think we saw that the way they played, responded to him at the end of the year. You know, they were unlucky not to beat Penrith in the last weekend. And, I think he warrants another an extended deal. I think they want to remove the speculation because a lot of players have got to sign before November 1. They're one of the sides with the most guys have got to re-sign or extend out before November 1. And they'll probably want to know who the coach is, not just for next year, but beyond that. So I think they'll get some news that Brad's that man.
Right. And one man, of course, Reed Marnie. Where's he? Yeah.
Well, they've got about seven guys who are, more than that, but they've got seven really prominent guys who are entering the last year of their deals on November 1, which means they can go and talk to rival clubs. And obviously with the expansion now a certainty to happen in 2023 and the Dolphins most likely to be that team. I mean, part of the Dolphins' sales pitch was that they would cover the area from Brisbane to the Sunshine Coast. That would be their corridor. And they've got immediate priorities. Their number one target will be either Harry Grant, Cameron Munster or Kalyn Ponga. They want one of those guys. After that, I would suggest that Reed Marnie be really high on their list because he's a kid from the area. He's from the Sunshine Coast. So I know Parramatta are desperate to tie him down before November 1. They've started those talks. And I think they're obviously hopeful they can lock Reed Marnie away because, you know, hookers are rare prize commodities, aren't they, in the game at the moment. So they're looking to get a deal done with him as soon as possible.
All right, so we don't know when who that team will be just yet for the expansion, but the NRL has started working on the plans that were going, the modelling for it.
Well, the expectation is it'll be the Dolphins. I mean, you know, obviously the Firehawks and the Jets are in the mix as well, but I think most people now acknowledge that when expansion's announced after the grand final, that the Dolphins will be the team that gets the nod.
Okay.
Who's the hierarchy behind the Dolphins? Who's the CEO and stuff?
So they've got a guy named Terry Reader who used to be at the Broncos. He was the commercial guy at the Broncos. I think he's heading up the bid team. And they've already spoken to Peter Parr about potentially coming on board. Now, I don't think it's progressed beyond an initial conversation, but certainly they're interested in Peter Parr becoming, I guess, the head of football.
Footy manager, yeah.
Wayne Bennett will be the coach. And then Wayne.
To be fair, he would have been the coach in any of the three.
He had more coverage, yeah. And then I would imagine it'll be the same situation they've got at South, where Wayne will have someone under him who he will mentor for the next couple of years, and that will eventually take over as Redcliffe coach when Wayne decides to step into, I guess, a coaching director's role of some description.
Right, somewhere around 2060.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Jamal Fogarty, what's going on?
Yeah, there's been a lot going on with Jamal Fogarty towards the latter stages of last week, because he appeared on Canberra's radar. I mean, Canberra's pursuit of a halfback is going to be one of the running stories of the off-season. And, you know, they were interested in Dylan Brown. Looks as though Dylan Brown will probably stay at Parramatta now. They relinquished Chanel Harris-Tavita, the Warriors. He's got a year left in his deal. But Jamal Fogarty has become, I guess, their priority at the moment. They were told by the Titans that Jamal wouldn't be allowed to leave. He's got 2 years left on his contract. But my understanding is there will be talks early next week between Jamal and the Titans to try and navigate the situation to the point where maybe Jamal's given permission to talk to the Raiders at least and maybe move down there.
Right.
On the back of Young's Sexton and Toby also Sexton. Yeah. Sexton coming through, and then you've got maybe Brimson moving to six because of Campbell's form at the back
end. And Fogarty's managed by the same company as Sexton and Justin Holbrook, so they've got the same management group.
Really, they need number nine Titans.
Sorry, what was that?
They need a hooker.
Josh Hodgson. It's madness. I've spoken to people at Canberra about this and the Gold Coast, and you know, if Canberra, obviously the Gold Coast have stood firm initially on Fogarty, but you know, why wouldn't you do a swap deal? The issue is there's a distinct difference in the salaries of the two players. Yeah. That's the issue.
Yeah.
But if you can find a way through that, for me, Hodgson is the perfect fit for the Gold Coast. He's exactly what they need, and Fogarty is exactly what Canberra need. So it makes a lot of sense. So I think people at both clubs can see it makes a lot of sense. Mm. But the issue is the money side of things. There's a big difference between their pay packets.
It's also very interesting when you let the English, you know, tourism, the tourists loose in the Gold Coast. It never ends well for anyone, does it?
No, that's true.
Noted in a sidebar to your always readable column in the Daily Telegraph today, Lachlan Lewis. Now, he's not happy to just disappear from the NRL. He thinks he's got something to offer.
No, he actually had an offer on the table from Super League.
Yep.
He's knocked that back because he wants to stay in the NRL. So he's still hopeful he can strike a deal here. His manager's looking around for him.
He should get a marketing job with eBay.
It should. That was a practical joke, wasn't it? It just went wrong.
It went very, very wrong.
Yeah, very wrong.
It didn't help him. Help his search for a club. But
he's a smart kid as well. We've interviewed him on this show, and he's been terrific.
Yeah, he's he still thinks he's got something to offer. His manager still thinks he's got something to offer. They're looking around now. I think it's just going to be a waiting game for Lachlan. I think eventually, if he holds his nerve and it gets closer next year in the season, someone will need a playmaker and some depth in that area, and I'm sure he'll fit the bill.
Reedy, that was terrific. That was positive. I liked it. You've turned
I'm
a corner.
Really positive again, yeah.
Believe It or Not is next.
Believe It or Not.
Don't worry, Gerds. I've taken one question out because it was just too negative.
No room for negativity.
Reedy wrote a couple of the questions, okay?
You could tell.
You could tell, couldn't you?
It was obvious.
Yeah, so I've just had to cross a couple of them out, and I've maintained most of them, but, you know, just view it positively. All right, believe it or not, Kalyn Ponga should be the number one target for the new expansion side.
Very positive about this, Tone. Yeah, it's I believe that, yes.
Yep.
I'm all for that. I think Ponga's a superstar. I love him. Love watching him play. He's a Queenslander, and I think he's the perfect guy to head up an expansion team. Love it.
Yeah, he's very marketable, and the kids love him. He's, as they say these days, he's got a big presence on social media, especially Instagram, and I think so too. I think there's, as Reedy mentioned earlier in the show, it's out of him, Munster, and Harry Grant. I think they'd like to get all three at some stage, but I think Ponga should be the number one priority, yeah.
I'd be going with Munster. He'd be my number one.
Yeah.
He'd be my number one target, absolutely. I think, you know, you've just got to really connect with the community, and I think he just, you know, he's he's a guy that people can really relate to. Not that they don't with Kalyn, but you get him up there, you put him front and centre, and I think he's a popular guy. He'd do great.
Yeah, he's a winner as well. All right. What about this? Again, this is written by Reedy.
Oh.
Believe it or not, the Rabbitohs will miss the top eight next season, Gerds.
No, I don't believe it.
No.
I think they'll be... I think they're in a really good spot. Got some really good kids coming through. It's going to be a bit trying without, obviously, Wayne there and Adam and Dane, a few guys moving on. But there's some good juniors coming through, as we've seen with Taff, and they'll be thereabouts.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't believe it. Jason Demetrio, I think he's going to be a really good coach. A lot of raps on him. He's got seems to have a really good rapport with the players. And I think they'll definitely be. I think they'll be top four next year. I think he's going to be a good coach, Jason Demetrio, for a long time.
That's true. There hasn't been a great record of the coaches of walking after Wayne.
No.
And do great stuff.
You having a shot at Siebes, are you?
No, I'm not having Siebes. A shot at anybody.
I'm not back at Anthony.
That's not Tony's go. That's your go.
Thank you, Anthony. Thank you.
That question we had to take out. How'd you write that?
I know.
Come on, mate.
It's low.
Kids listen to this show.
We'll put it up on social media later, and it's where it belongs.
Yes, I know. I think they'll make the top eight for sure. South Sydney, I think Latrell back, these young guys who played against the Dragons a few weeks back and beat Dragons at full strength, and South Sydney rested all their players, would have given them a good shot in the arm. South Sydney's they're always going to be thereabouts.
Yeah. I like this question. Big Tone obviously wrote it, not Reedy. Benji Marshall. Believe it or not, Benji Marshall is the greatest Kiwi to play in the NRL or play rugby league. Were we going to say overall or just to play over here? Let's go play rugby league. There you go. He's
ever.
The greatest.
Kiwi. You're coming to me?
I'm coming to you.
I believe it. Yeah? I believe it. Yeah, I think he's been, I said it earlier, an ornament to the game, Benji. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. He's inspired a lot of kids and great player. Great bloke. Fantastic. Love
it. Yep, happy to go with Benji, especially if he gets this another premiership, two premierships, and I don't know how many premierships. I mean, who else is in the conversation? State guys like Stacey Jones,
Ruben Wickie, maybe.
Ruben Wickie.
Yeah.
Mark Rain, my favourite player growing up.
Absolutely.
Was he really?
He was my idol. Him and Terry Randall as I was growing up. Graham Eady. But Mark Rain, the way, same initials. I liked the way he played for the Bears. He had this, used to wear them cut off jerseys, so he looked like his big biceps were bulging. Bigger than life. Met him a couple of times. And what a man. What a great man.
What about Olsen Filippona?
Oh, the Sorensen brothers.
The Dane and Kurt Sorensen.
Kurt Sorensen.
Jared McCracken.
McCracken. Oh, yeah. The Iroh.
Iroh boys. Yeah. Matty Ridge.
They have been.
Gary Freeman.
Yep. Oh, the Wiz.
It's hard to go past the
Benji. I think Benji tops the tree, but
I agree.
Yep. All right. And finally.
Reeves. Another great Kiwi to play our game.
Yeah, good player.
When Craig Bellamy stops coaching, the Storm's dynasty will end. It's as simple as that, black and white. It's all about super coach Craig Bellamy. Gerds?
Yeah. why not? I believe it.
You believe it?
You believe it?
Wow.
You're going to say good this show too.
It'll never fans 133353. Do you want to talk to Gerds?
It'll never be the same. It'll just never be the same. So, I'd imagine it will taper a little bit, Happy to say that.
Well,
I think they're out of sight, out of mind situation has them always going to be thereabouts. Look, we spoke about them earlier, how their first year was 98, they made finals, then 99 they won the comp. I just think this culture they've developed down there, which Bellamy's and Chris Anderson before him back in the early stages have developed, is just a formidable thing. I think they're always going to be I'd be shocked if they never made the top eight, the Melbourne Storm.
I don't think necessarily Craig stop coaching will lead to their slide. I just think that all footy clubs at some point
have a dip.
Mm. And I don't think necessarily it'll be related to Craig
on this front. Craig leaves and they dip.
Craig will stay involved when he stops coaching. He'll still be there in some capacity.
Mm.
So I think at some point there'll be a dip after Craig goes, but it won't be instantaneous. Oh. I think when Craig stops coaching, he'll still be involved in a capacity with someone else.
They'll stay at
a decent standard.
It's yes or no, isn't it? Believe it or not.
I would have thought. Believe it or not.
So do you believe it or not?
It's got to end sometime, doesn't it?
So is that a yes?
Yes.
I don't think it's related to Craig.
Come on, mate.
Hey, one nasty message on Twitter and look at him.
Yeah, I know.
It turns into a mess.
Frank Pernessi's listening too, by the way.
Exactly. Reedy, listen to me. It's my job to sit here and be too scared to say stuff.
Oh, okay.
It's not your job.
No, I don't think it is still land when Craig retires.
Okay.
I don't believe it.
The segment
can
is
he sit out next week?
You're sitting I'm out. Done. You're leaving right now. Your preparation for coming back at 3 o'clock is just a little
light. It's going to be impartial, Tane. It's going to be impartial.
Good luck. Thanks.
See you,
Gerds.
Triple M's Saturday Scrum for King G. Pushing the limits in comfort, technology and design.
Cameron Smith is, as we speak, interviewing his former coach, Craig Bellamy. Mm. That could be a conversation that goes forever. They've got so much in common, those two. We'll catch up with Cam as soon as that is done. Another legend from Melbourne and from Queensland, Billy Slater, it has been announced and confirmed that he will coach the Queensland State of Origin side. It's from every angle you look at it, it seems like a good idea.
Yeah, well, I don't think they had much choice once they decided they weren't going to have Paul Green again this year, and those two, he parted ways with the Queensland Rugby League. I think Billy was the logical option. As I said, there's not a lot of Queensland coaches around at the moment when you scour sort of the NRL and the coaching ranks, and that's a real concern for Queensland Rugby League. It's something they want to fix. But, you talk to people in Melbourne about Billy and they say really diligent, really intelligent, very smart tactically, from a football perspective, we'll prepare. We'll go to untold lengths to make sure he's prepared and to make sure he's ready to succeed in that role. So I think it's a great appointment. I think he needs to surround himself with the right people. I'm sure Billy will do that because he's a smart guy. So good times for Queensland. We're back, baby. We're back.
Before I get MG's take on it, why don't we have a quick listen to what Billy Slater had to say?
It's something that's that I'm comfortable with. I'm not teaching medicine. I'm not trying to build a rocket or anything like that. I'm coaching football, and it's what I know best. I've been involved in the game since I was a four-year-old little boy, and I've coached individuals and at the Melbourne Storm and also within Queensland. So now I'm looking forward to the challenge, and I think it's really important for me to do it my way. Yes, we're going to assemble a strong coaching staff around me, but it's important that I go in there and do it my way and not try and be someone else that's been successful or someone else that's coached Queensland.
If he is looking to build a rocket, he could enlist the help of Justin Olam, who has an applied physics degree I learned today, which is absolutely brilliant. But just hearing that voice, MG, the strength in that voice, and we know, as you said, about the work ethic of this guy, and also imagine wanting for those players wanting to be in camp with a bloke like Billy Slater.
I think the coach of these Origin teams now have got to have the wow factor. And I think, look, I'm no disrespect to Paul Green, but I don't think he had it. You know, Brad Fittler's got it. Mal Meninga had it. When the players walk into the dressing room for the first time with to get their jerseys fitted up and they look at the coach, they go, wow. So in that regard, I think that, I think Billy Slater's definitely got it. I think these days you've got to not necessarily coach in the NRL to be a successful Origin coach, but you've got to have experience in both games and experience in more importantly in camps. I think you've got to know how to massage each ego in camps, and Billy Slater will build a team around him. I think, obviously the guy we're about to speak to, Cam Smith, will feature prominently, you would imagine. But I do think he's got to have someone along the lines that New South Wales had, like the Craig Fitzgibbons of the world who are connected to the game as we know it. And I suppose we were talking about it earlier with Gerds was going to say it, but he's now vacated the premises.
Yeah,
but he said
lazy.
Someone like a Josh Hennay or someone who could, who's been in that. He played Origin. He's been a coach as recently as this year, and he knows the nuances of the new rules. And I think that's really important. Paul Green had Neil Henry, I think, on his coaching staff, who hasn't been a coach for a while. Paul Green himself hadn't coached the new rules per se. So Craig Fitzgibbon was the X factor in this year, and we haven't spoken to Brad Fittler a few times on the Rush Hour and even on this show, and he said that, Fitzy does all the tactical stuff. I'm there to make sure my guys' heads are in the right spot and they're there for the right reasons, and it's a great combination.
Yeah, I could just be
Billy Slater would be good. It'll be awesome, Tane. It'll be awesome.
You could be befuddled by the jigsaw that is the interchange, so you do need somebody who can do that. So you're saying as well, you think that Josh Hannay is a good name?
Well, it makes sense. Man. MG's spot on. I reckon one thing Paul Green didn't really get right this year was he didn't have anyone who coached under the existing rules. I mean, his coaching staff was Neil Henry and Jonathan Thurston. So he didn't really have any, and Greeny obviously hadn't because he departed the Cowboys last year. So he hadn't really had anyone who'd played under the current system. And I'm sure Billy will do that. Billy will have the right people around him, as I said. And You know, one thing, the other aspect of Billy is people that probably don't know about the involvement he's got in Melbourne and their attacking systems down there. I mean, Mark Brentnell's their attack coach, but Billy's heavily involved, or was before COVID, in their attacking structures and coming up with attacking plans. So he's a really smart coach, Billy, very tactically astute.
Yeah, just been thrown by the arrival of Peter Sterling, who, of course, will be there for the...
what about the jersey he's wearing?
Yeah.
Liverpool jersey. Ah,
of course he is. Sterlo, lovely to see you. You'll hear Sterlo from 3 o'clock. Obviously, the game kicking off at four. What about that? What about the overseeing kind of role that was talked about being Mal Meninga? Do we still know? Is Wayne Bennett, given he's not going to be having an NRL team next season, and is he a likely figure?
Yeah, I'd be surprised if it's not Wayne. I think Wayne would be happy to do it. And it's just a matter of they're going to lock away Billy first and then move on to that role. So I'd be stunned if it's not Wayne.
And not a bad-looking football team if what we saw in the third State of Origin, that Queensland wins, next year's series could be phenomenal.
It just makes it exciting with the coaches. You know, yep. I think Origin's about the coaches more so than club footy is. I think if you've got a focal point as a coach in both New South Wales and Queensland, like we're going to have next year with Billy Slater up against Brad Fittler, that's the duel. It's kind of a personal duel between them two, and it's mouthwatering. I can't wait.
Still to come, Canadian Club next, big thing, and Cameron Smith right here. Saturday Scrum, we do it thanks to King G.
The Triple M, Saturday Scrum, the King G. Triple M rocks footy.
Reedy, MG and Tony with you. It's time for this.
Over beer? Well, Canadian Club wants to stock your fridge. The next big thing.
I'm not working this afternoon. That might be what I do. Just open the Canadian Club.
How good. What a way to spend an arvo.
You know, by yourself.
Yeah. In a highball glass with lots of ice and lots of lime.
Highball glass, okay. The kind of long, thin one?
Yeah.
Lots of ice.
Bit of ice through it and then have a little bit of lime, maybe squeeze a little bit in, then have the lime set in the drink. It's so refreshing. So it doesn't make you bloated. I talk from experience, my boys. I speak from experience.
Well, that's my next big thing is actually Canadian Club.
Done.
Done, exactly. What's yours, MG, heading towards this game this afternoon?
Look, it's reportedly going to be very warm. This game is like in the low 30s, and I think that's going to affect one team more than the other. And that's going to affect the Storm more than it's going to affect the Panthers. And I think Kickow's in for something big. I think Kickow's in for a barnstormer today. I think he has to be man of the match. Everyone's saying Nathan Cleary has to be man of the match for them to win. I think Kickow's got to be man of the match because that means the forwards have gotten over the other forwards. And if Kickow's man of the match, Penrith win.
Just going back to your weather idea. Aren't Storm most of them from the Sunshine Coast?
Well, it's Andy Raymond just texted me saying it's 28 degrees right now, so that's going to get to about 30. The fittest team in the competition are Penrith because they train in 40 degree heat all off season, and they're used to it. They are used to it. Storm, by nature, are Melbournians who come up for the Sunshine Coast spasmodically, maybe for a year or so. But they're really Melbournes. Right. They're really Melbourneites, so they're Mexicans.
Melburnians.
They're Melburnians. Mexicanos. So they're going to feel the heat, man. Wait. Unlucky boys, it's a bit hot for you today. Go and just cool your heels and let the Panthers run riot.
Love it. That's your next big thing.
My next big thing is Christian Welch, because I think it's a big day for Christian Welch. He's the man who just zeroes in on Nathan Cleary and puts the pressure on Nathan Cleary. But he's also got a big clash with James Fisher-Harris. That front row clash will be one for the ages. So he's my next big thing, Christian Welch.
All right. Are you worried at all, MG, about tired legs from Penrith having gone the way they have and how tough last week was?
Yeah, 100%. And then the game against – they've kind of had, as I said earlier in the show, they've tread water for the last month. And I think they needed a little bit of adversity. The last year they didn't get it before the big game in the grand final. This year they've got plenty of it. They've got injuries. They've got lack of form. And I think what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. They will be better. They'll be better today. They're going to give everyone a big shake today. Everyone, look, I get it. I get everyone's writing them off because you look at the two teams and look at the path they've forged to get where they are. And Melbourne have had a lot easier run. And they've the prelim, you get that week off and all that type of stuff. But Penrith won't go down without a fight, a massive fight.
All right. Give them a chance.
I give them a chance, I give them a chance, of course. Love Penrith. Big fan of the team in the suburbs.
If you listened to the show earlier, Brent _ Reed number 7, he just give it the Panthers, he give it to everyone. So he's in a mood today. He was in a big mood.
I think they're a chance. If they can find their best, then they can certainly win it.
Yeah,
speaking of finding the best, we're looking for him. We get to Cam Smith next.
Scrum for King G, pushing the limits in comfort, technology and design.
Sterlo, will it be your penultimate game for Nine when you were broadcasting?
If that means second last, yes. Yes.
It's the fifth time I've used penultimate today.
Yeah, I've heard it a couple of times. Yeah, it's not one of my favourite words, Tony. But this isn't believe it or not, is it?
No, sorry, guys.
It went like clockwork too.
Of course it did. Of course.
Your favourite segment of all time, Stella.
I've got to agree with you, Rudy. But I like watching footy on my own.
Yeah.
So we should get together one day and watch footy on our own.
Turn your backs to each other and watch footy. Yeah.
I don't like people talking to me when I watch footy.
Mate,
I just want to watch the footy in silence.
I'm with you exactly.
Except for the commentary, of course.
What about if you like going to a game? Would you rather be isolated, just watching it by yourself?
No, Tony, that's different.
That's different.
I can't believe you even asked that question.
No, because
I don't go to a game and then sit by myself when there are 50,000 people there.
But I go to a game and the way I interact with the game ends up that I am sitting by myself and people around have disappeared.
Well, therein lies the problem. Yes.
It certainly does. What did you make of last night?
Yeah, I enjoyed it to the extent that I was waiting for the Manly comeback, but it just never came. I thought... If they'd gone in, say, 16-0 down and Manly come out and score first and second half, I thought, they might just get away with this, Manly. But when it got down to 22, I thought some couple of really bad reads, defensive reads just before half-time cost them. But when you looked at Manly, who only had basically two opportunities in the first half, they had 35% of possession, were turned down on both of those occasions to score, it looked like, well, if they get an even share of footy here and they get some field position, you know, this 16, 18, 22 might not be insurmountable. And then when they scored the first try 4 minutes into the second half, I'm thinking, well,
it's on.
But then they just got too flamboyant. I think scoreboard pressure, that even 5 minutes into the second half, they were concerned by that, came up with two drop balls and it was all over. So, yeah, good performance from South, great performance from the coach. I know you've spoken about him at nauseam this morning, but understandably so. It's a wonderful effort, and they'll be tough to beat. And they sit back and watch today. And we spoke last night to Billy Slater, and he said that the Melbourne players are very, very confident, at full strength, at Okar back. So I'm trying to find a reason to tip against Melbourne. I just can't find it.
Yeah.
It's very hard because they are. You look at it, and that's the thing. Still, are they? You know, I think for the first time this year, they've been full strength without Okar being back, and that's just a statement they're making. I think Penrith have got to play the perfect game to beat them, and have they got it in them? Well, I think they have. I think they can play the perfect game because they've done it for 18 months. The last 3 weeks have been walking in quicksand somewhat, but if they play their perfect game and fight fire with fire, I'll take Melbourne on up the guts and get their kicking game right. I'm pretty sure that they can, if they're close at half time, put it that way, if it's, 10-8 or 12-8 at half time, I think Penrith are right in the game, and obviously.
You're a fan, I know, of having that week off.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so that, and given the way that the tough game last week for the Panthers, that again helps out the Storm.
Well, I think so. Yeah, and history supports that. And I know it's only a statistic, but the teams that have got the week off have a fantastic conversion rate of going into a grand final. But this is a young Penrith team, and, the question is, the fact it was so physical last week, does that affect them this week, or does it just battle harden them? I think it's probably the latter. I don't think it's going to be too much of a concern for them. It's just against Melbourne. You've got to get everything right. We keep saying that. Melbourne still control the ruck better than everybody else. They still... I won't necessarily refer to it as the wrestle anymore because it's not as pronounced as it once was, but they still control the play the ball area better than anybody. And Penrith need to counteract that because once Melbourne gets you in that, again, I don't even think it's a wrestle type thing, but once they get you into that kind of contest, they just know the game so well. They know this course so well. Going in, on the back of a rest going into finals football, I can't find a reason not to tip them except from the fact it's Penrith.
Yeah.
Which is great.
Nathan Cleary, we all know that shoulder has caused him some trouble, as if it wouldn't, the path he's gone. he's a target for those guys who are better at it than many, well, the likes of Christian Welch.
Yeah, clearly he is. But if we hadn't seen him grab the shoulder last week, would we know? Would we have we looked at his game and thought, oh, geez, he's a little bit... So I'm... Yeah, it is what it is, and he's a tough kid. He's proven that. I don't think that's a concern for him at all. You know, it's every now and then, if you've got a an injury like that, there might be an incident in the game where it's a little bit dusty, and we saw that. But I won't say it's an overreaction. But if we hadn't have seen that one moment in time, I would have just thought, well, Nathan Cleary's ready to go 100%, and he's still the key man for Penrith, and I think that is the case.
All right, Peter Sterling, I know you're going to give that in the pre-game in just a moment, but...
I've got nothing left.
Who wins? Yeah, that's it. Good night.
Look, I'll tip Melbourne, but Penrith, they've been a wonderful side for 2 years now, and if there is one team who can overcome a physical encounter last week and having to play again, it is Penrith. But I think Melbourne have to be favourites.
Okay, Reedy's got to go off now and answer all his mail on social media from those who he's attacked.
Mail abuse. Yeah. What would you say?
They're called trolls. Just basically, they're called trolls.
MG, thank you so much. Yep. Sterlo.
Thank you, boys.
Thanks, guys.
As well. And good listeners, out, thank you. Go out and enjoy your football as Triple M rocks the footy.
Saturday Scrum for King G. Pushing the limits in comfort, technology and design. Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.